Well, thank you very much, Mr. Finnegan, and hello and welcome to everybody. Happy Sabbath. Great to be here, and welcome to all our guests. Like Connor was saying, it really sounds good in here today. Everybody's in really good voice, so it's nice to have a big group like this and everybody singing out. And what a blessing to be here at Sabbath services. Joe and I actually got to go up to Chihuahua last week, and I was telling everybody up there that it had just been such a crazy week. The week before, I had gone to Butte for half of the week for work and then raced home. And so then we came to this week, and you're kind of making up for all that stuff you missed the week before. So same thing, you know, the weeks are just pretty busy these days, and everybody I talk to just seems to be in the same situation. Everybody is so busy. Everybody has so much going on, and it's just a wild ride right now. And a lot of people going through a lot of things, and I certainly appreciated Mr. Neff's message about thorns in the flesh. That ties really well into what I was wanting to start out with here today, just saying that, you know, we're all going through a lot in life, and it is just a blessing to be here, step away from it all, and be able to expound on God's word and be taught and look forward to what we all is the future. So with all that, it just feels like we're living a lot with a lot of angst these days. This is how I would put it. You could say I've had a lot of angst of late. And angst, as described by vocabulary.com, is a feeling of anxiety and frustration that isn't really specific. You know, you can't really put your finger on it, but you feel like there's stuff going on, you know. People often feel angst about the state of the world, the state of our country, politics. Here we go, another election year, and boy, there's a little angst about that everybody has. Or about the state of their home, about work, school, our relationships. Basically, the stress. You know, stress is angst. Angst is anxiety that is mixed with frustration and negativity. And when people are going through angst in their lives, people become short with others. They can become frustrated and maybe even a little biting at times. And these really aren't traits that God's people, that we should be exemplifying. Not with God, not with others, and not with those that we are in, especially in close relationships with, like our friends, coworkers, neighbors, family, brethren, spouses. Not only that, but sometimes even ourselves. We need to be self-aware and realize when we're getting into wrong attitudes. Then it's up to us to change those attitudes. And that's very difficult, but with God's help, we can overcome those attitudes. And there's something that we can focus on at these times of stress that will enable us to overcome bad attitudes. One action that we can combat and that will help us overcome these feelings. It's an attitude, a character trait, and it is a fruit of God's Holy Spirit. So today we'll look at the topic of kindness. Kindness is an identifying mark of a true Christian or a follower of Christ. Kindness is the fifth fruit of the Spirit that are listed in Galatians 5. We're familiar. When we have God's Holy Spirit, it should be evident by our fruit. Others should notice a difference in the way that we live and a way that we treat others and the way that we behave. But do they? Sometimes we can fall right back into this world, the world that we're supposed to be coming out of, and allow it to influence us and bring us down, down into wrong attitudes and actions that find us treating others badly. And it's a constant struggle. And never forget that there is a real enemy out there, and he knows all about stress and angst and anxiety, and he understands all of our weaknesses so well and how stress and angst work. So we can't afford to be this way. We need to be self-aware and notice when we're starting to behave this way, and then ask God to stir up that Holy Spirit in us, and that is not easy. We have to look at the kind of fruits that we're bearing, really look in that mirror and see ourselves for who we are and how we're behaving. And it takes effort on our part. Being kind and showing kindness takes action. And it's the way we are to be living. And it can even cost us. It can cost us a little. It can cost us a little time. It can cost us a little effort. It costs us some kind of resource. It costs something. But if we're willing to show kindness, it helps greatly in overcoming angst. Our Father in heaven is all about kindness. God, by his divine nature, is kind. He's not kind some of the time. He is kind all the time. It is his nature. David wrote in Psalms 25 and verse 6, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from old." They go way back. God shows his kindness from everlasting to everlasting, which is, you know, beyond our physical minds to imagine, but forever he has been kind. That's listed in Psalms 103, verse 17. His kindness is from everlasting to everlasting. It is who he is. We know that God is love, and we know love suffers long and is kind. Let's read that. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians this afternoon in our Bibles. 1 Corinthians, turning to the love chapter 13. And we'll read verses 4 through 7 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long and is kind. So love actually is kind. It's kindness. So we could say, kindness does not envy. Kindness does not parade itself, is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. All traits of kindness, of love, traits of our Father. We're to be emulating this. We're to be putting on Christ. We're to be a holy, separate, sanctified, set apart, different from the world. And when we are, we'll overcome the attitudes of this world, which are described for us over in 2 Timothy. We'll take a look at those attitudes. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 3 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good. A complete contrast to what we read in 1 Corinthians, you know, wrong attitudes and behaviors that the enemy would have us embrace. Traits of the world that we live in, and if we're not careful and self-aware, we can get pulled into as well. We have to be watchful for these attitudes and behaviors and be able to stop them when we find ourselves in them. Let's read this over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put them away. You know, get rid of them. When we see them in ourselves, man, it's easy to say, but it's very hard to do. We need to put them away. They're so very natural to us, though. And it takes a great deal of self-awareness. But when we see these traits, we have to remember the enemy. Don't forget that he's out there. Know that these attitudes are exactly what he wants us to have because he knows where they lead. Satan's been attacking the plan of God from the very time iniquity was found in him. And since then, his mind has been set on going counter to God and his plan for all of mankind. He knows these ways are the opposite of God's ways, all selfish traits, right? Lovers of themselves, which is exactly what Satan is, selfish and prideful. We see God's ways in the very next verse, godly traits and godly nature the enemy would have us avoid. So dropping down to verse number 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted. This is verse 32 of Ephesians 4, forgiving one another even as God in Christ forgave you. We know that God forgave us while we were still sinners. That's Romans 5, verse 8. We can't forget that. So often we ask our Father for forgiveness and pray for his kindness and his mercy in our lives. But then we turn around and we forget those traits when we're caught up in the attitudes of this world. We really see this exemplified for us in the parable of the unforgiving servant over in Matthew. Let's turn over to Matthew. Thinking here about how we would like to receive God's kindness and mercy, and yet how we often behave towards others. Matthew chapter 18, and we'll read verses 23 through 35. Matthew 18, starting in verse number 23. "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, the master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me. I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and he forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servants fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, I will pay you all.' And when he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt." So the guy said, "No, you're going to pay me when it's his turn now to be merciful." So when his fellow servants, all the other people, saw that what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, you know, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." That's a serious lesson. You know, we can't afford to forget this lesson. We're all so quick to ask for mercy and kindness when we need it and beg for it. But how often do we in return give it when it's in our power to do so? Or do we fall back into the worldly ways of the enemy and say, "You know, it isn't fair, and I was treated badly, and to whoever it was that offended us, they don't deserve my kindness." You know, do we deserve God's kindness? We don't. And often neither do the ones that we're dealing with. Sometimes, you know, bad things have happened. However, if we ever expect to receive kindness and mercy from our Father, we have to be willing to give it to others as he has done for us. Let's turn in the back of our Bibles here to James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Mercy and kindness go hand in hand. They're all part of godly love. So we ask to receive kindness from our Father, and we also need to be able to show kindness to others. It's the way of God, and it's how it will all ultimately work in his kingdom. And we know that we're supposed to be learning that way and practicing those ways today in our lives, which is amazingly difficult in the world that we're doing it in. Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians 3 and verse 12 says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering." The very character of God our Father and his Son Jesus Christ. It's how his way works. Let's turn to Philippians and see some more aspects of kindness. Turning to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 verses 3 and 4. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." This is kindness. Kindness takes humility, and humility is the fundamental ingredient to kindness. Humility plays an integral part in God's way of life. Esteeming others better than ourselves is God's way, and it's something that will make the kingdom work one day. And it's so different from what's promoted in the world around us today. Looking out for the interests of others, paying attention to others around us and their interests and their needs. We don't always know what others might be going through, what they might be dealing with in their lives. So being kind is giving others the benefit of the doubt, esteeming them better than ourselves. And that's the key. I mean, a trip to the store is quite a lesson in this kind of thing. You go to like a massive Costco store, place is packed, everyone is trying to get what they want and get out of there. which, you know, I have a little bit of stock in Costco, so that's helped me a lot in that situation where I'm like, well, I guess it's okay that it's packed in here. You know, you wouldn't want it the other way. But, you know, it's amazing to watch what happens. Going down an aisle, somebody gets distracted by, oh, look at that beautiful TV, but they leave their cart right out in the middle, and, you know, you're trying to get around that, or someone is trying to get, and you can just see the frustration building, and it's amazing to watch it. And then, you know, okay, I'm out of here. Let's get out of here. It's time to leave. Seeing people beelining to the front of the store. Wham! I mean, the lines are huge. Like, I'm going to be here forever. And you can watch people's attitudes change in the line, too, as you're going through. And then watch the cashier, all the angst they go through having to deal with so many people. And then you get up there and you feel the angst with the cashier. And it's just, it's incredible. And showing a little bit of kindness in times like that goes a long way, all the way around. Just giving the cashier maybe a little compliment on, those are some cool fingernails, or I really like your hair or your hat. I've done that a couple times, and it's, these, thank you, you know. And just amazing how that can change somebody's attitude. And then helping out maybe the guy behind you who's trying to stack all the stuff on behind you, a little kindness. And it's just amazing how it really works. I've witnessed it several times. Like I said, kindness will be the way of life in the kingdom of God. Kindness and humility, esteeming others better than ourselves, looking out for their interests, will be the rule of the day, and gone will be angst and all the attitudes that go with it. All will actually be living the golden rule. We read the golden rule in Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. It's laid out for us there. Luke 6 verse 31 says, I'm in a different one. Luke 6, not John. That was not what I said. The golden rule. Jesus answered and said to them, no, Luke, I'm in 5. I'm struggling. Luke 6, here it is. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. There it is, in a nutshell, the golden rule. It takes conscious effort on our part to do this, yet it's so fundamental in kindness, to kindness. Thinking how we want to be treated, how we would want to be treated if we were in the other person's shoes. We probably don't even really know what it's really like to be in the other person's shoes because we really don't know what they're dealing with in their lives, have no idea what they've all been through at that moment. Yet being able to pause and think, what if I was on the other side of this situation? How would I want to be treated? It's esteeming others better than ourselves and looking to be kind from another perspective. It's amplified a bit further in verse 32 and 33. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And dropping down to verse 35 and 36. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Our Father is kind, even to the unthankful and the evil. Humbly giving of ourselves to others who even may take it for granted is a tall order, but God's kindness is taken for granted all the time. Being kind to those that we think don't deserve it, the person who just cut us off maybe in the grocery store or out on the highway or out on the road somewhere has somehow offended us. You know, when we've been offended, to be kind to somebody after that is very difficult. We have to be very careful about becoming offended by others also. Proverbs 18 and verse 19 says that a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. We put bars up when we've been offended. You know, we've had it. And this really makes being kind difficult. We don't feel like being kind to a person again after being offended. Why should I be kind to that guy? He's a jerk. You know, why would I ever be kind to that person? We should be able to be kind even to our enemies. God's kind to all, like we saw, merciful and compassionate. It's God's way of life. If we have his spirit in us, it should be ours as well. God makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. It's not easy. We have to be very cognizant of the way we're thinking at all times and self-aware of our attitudes. But the more we think about kindness and being kind, the more it'll impact our daily lives in all of our relationships, and especially in our closest relationships. It seems like those are the ones that we can offend so much. In an article posted June 12th of 2014 in the Atlantic.com, by Emily Smith, this article is entitled Masters of Love. She says, science says lasting relationships come down to, you guessed it, kindness and generosity. There are many reasons why relationships fail, but if you look at what drives the deterioration of many relationships, it's often a breakdown of kindness. As the normal stresses of life together pile up, when stress just piles up, couples may put less effort into their relationship and let petty grievances they hold against one another tear them apart. In most marriages, levels of satisfaction drop off dramatically within the first few years together. But among couples who not only endure, but live happily together for years and years, the spirit of kindness and generosity guides them forward. She continues, the hardest time to participate kindness is, of course, during an argument or a fight. But this is also the most important time to be kind. Letting contempt and aggression spiral out of control during a conflict can inflict irrevocable damage on a relationship. She says, kindness, on the other hand, glues couples together. Research has shown that kindness, along with emotional stability, is the most important predictor of satisfaction and stability in a marriage. Kindness makes each partner feel cared for, understood, and validated. They feel loved. Kindness and love, as we've seen, go hand in hand. She continues, my bounty is as boundless as the sea, says Shakespeare in Juliet. My love is deep. The more I give to thee, the more I have, for both are infinite. That's how kindness works, too. There's a great deal of evidence showing the more someone receives or witnesses kindness, the more they will be kind themselves, which leads to an upward spiral of love and generosity in a relationship. And that's how God's way works. It benefits everyone, both the giver and the receiver. Well, today we've looked at the fruit of kindness. We've seen that our God is kindness. He is love, and love is kind. It's part of his character, and we have to be making it a part of ours. It helps us overcome the attitudes of this dark world, and it helps us with all of our relationships, which this life is all about relationships. Keeping a focus on kindness will help us overcome angst in the world that we live in, and it'll give us true, meaningful peace. I'd like to conclude today reading instruction in kindness again over in Romans chapter 12, Paul writing to the Romans. And the subtitle in my Bible says, behave like a Christian or a follower of Christ. But I'd like to conclude reading this passage in Romans chapter 12. We'll read verses 9 through 21. And this really ties up and summarizes everything that we've looked at today in regards to kindness. Romans chapter 12 and reading verses 9 through 21. Let love, or we could say kindness, be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly, affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil and have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's be kind.